Amen. And the Bible says if he'd take care of the birds and the sparrows, that he's going to take care of his children. Amen. If God picked up a sparrow that could no longer fly, brushed off his wounds, then watched him soar into the sky. If he's mindful of creation, on this side they pen. Listen now. 'Cause I am his child, and I can place all my trust in him.
I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. My strong power, the strength in my weakest fire. I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me.
It's hard to do this when you get in the blessing, folks. Amen. I have prayed some prayers, thought they never were heard. But I held to God's hand and kept right on trusting in His Word. My plans and God's desires, they don't always agree. Oh, but I'll lean on His will, 'cause He always knows what's best for me.
I can trust You.
God, it's good. Enjoy that good singing. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What a blessing it is to be in church this morning. I know some of you just barely hanging on. I can tell. But you get in there. Get back in there. Stay in your Bible. Pray every day. Stay with God till He fires you back up. Spend time with the Lord. He'll bless you for it. All right, let's get our Bibles open to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This morning, we're going to look at several things here in the book of 2 Timothy. I'm going to do something this morning that I rarely do. I'm going to preach this morning about preachers. If you're a preacher here this morning, this is especially for you and to help you. We have several preachers here today. And if you're not a preacher, this may help you to understand the job of a God-called preacher. Paul talks about it here in 2 Timothy. He's writing to the young preacher, Timothy. So this morning I'm going to talk about the preacher. Most time you hear preachers come, they talk about you. Today, I'm going to talk about me and us as preachers. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at look at verse number 1. I charge thee, this is him to Timothy, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead is appearing in His kingdom. Preach the Word. That's what's supposed to preach, the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. Are we there or not? Everybody other than that, well, we won't teach it. Don't preach at us. Don't preach to us. We just want somebody to come in and teach us. That's exactly what the Bible said you'd do in the last days. He said, you let them have it, Timothy. They're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Itching ears mean, tell me what I want to hear. That's what itching ears mean. And verse number 4 said, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. All right, help me up back there, fellas. Get my mic on here just a little bit more. And I'll preach this morning on the subject, the duty of every preacher. The duty of every preacher. This might help you this morning to understand what a preacher's job is from the Bible. No soldier ever entered into battle that had more serious and important task than God's man does when he stands to preach. No principal was ever trusted with a school full of children that to run their safety than the preacher is with the spiritual welfare of the people in the congregation. No politician has ever held the fate of people in a future in his hand like the preacher does that preaches the Word of God. No policeman has ever risked his life and cared and protected the masses, people on the streets of our nation as much as a preacher does that stands between people and God as a go-between, as the man of God praying for them. Several things I'll mention this morning about the job of a preacher. Number one, a preacher's job, are you listening, is to exalt the Savior. His job is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That in all things, that's what this verse of Scripture right here, that's what that means. That in all things, He, Jesus, might have preeminence. Preeminence means first place. That's what it means. Jesus must have first place. We're living in a time, especially in this part of the country, where a preacher, a lot of people got a lot of different ideas what a preacher's job is. They'll hire one to come in and keep him about 2 years, and by the time he finds out how they are, they're ready to run him off and give him another one they can fool for a couple of years. But his job, first of all, is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and brag on Him. Nobody can compare to the Lord. He's the highest of the high. He's the greatest of the great. I'm telling you, we belong to Him. That's Sam Jones one time. A fellow came up and said, don't you belong to the Methodist Church? And Sam Jones said, no, I'm a member of the Methodist Church. I belong to Jesus. That's what I'm here this morning. I'm a member of Shining Light Baptist Church, but I want to tell you people something. I belong to Jesus Christ. He's my hero. He's my Savior. He's the one I live for. He's the one I'll answer to. He's the one that died to save me, and He's the one that's going to be first in my life by the help of the Lord. They say there's only four big days in a person's life. The day you're born, the day you're saved, the day you're married, the day you die. And the preacher is to be a part of all four of those great days. Isn't that something? Listen, you know what a preacher does? He exalts Jesus. I think it was Martin Luther one time. I said, how do you get so many people to come and hear you preach? He said, I set myself on fire and people come and watch me burn. That's what a preacher's job is to get on fire. You know, people are attracted to a fire. They want to watch it burn. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what the man of God does. He's exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want to say this morning, the preacher's job is to expound the Scriptures. His job is to expound the Scriptures. Now, it don't mean just quote Scripture. It means we're to help people understand the sense of the Scripture. It's when a preacher up preaching, it's like he's unfolding something. And it's like unraveling a ball of yarn. We are to rightly divide the Word of Truth. We are to expound the Scripture. Now, if we're to divide the Word of Truth, that means it has divisions in it. I talk to people all the time that are so confused in the Bible, they can't get it straight. If you come here to church long enough, if you're a Bible preacher long enough, you will learn what a dispensation is. And if you don't understand what a dispensation is, you can never make heads or tails out of the Bible. A dispensation is a period of time in which God deals with certain group in a certain way. For example, in the days of Noah, God dealt with people getting ready for the flood. We're not getting ready for a flood now. He dealt differently with people at a different way in a different time. There is the Old Testament. The Old Testament, God dealt mainly with Jews. He gave the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, but to a man by the name of Moses. Now listen to me this morning. There's the creation. You understand, a preacher makes you understand creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And a preacher ought to be solid and right on creation. We ought not to be intimidated by science or afraid where they contradict the Bible. We expound the Scriptures. We tell our kids, God made this world. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And make no apologies for it whatsoever. I'm telling you, we believe in the fall of man. You know why there's so many problems in the world? Because man is a fallen creature. We understand that God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in a perfect environment. When Eve partook of the fruit, sin entered into the human race. She gave to her husband, he did eat, their children sinned, their children sinned, their children sinned, their children sinned. And that's why you got problems today. And I have problems today. A preacher's job is to help you understand the fall of man. It's his job to help you understand Moses and the law. The law came by Moses. He was up on the mountain. God gave him the Ten Commandments. And it said they were written with the finger of God. Moses come down that mountain. What happened? He had the Ten Commandments in his hand. Everybody's backslid. They're down there having a rock concert and dancing. And Moses got mad. Bam! Broke them. He's the only man that ever broke all Ten Commandments at one time. And he busted them things up, went back up on the mountain, God gave him another set, and that was the law that they went by. We understand, my job is to help you understand the feast. There were seven feasts. The feast of the Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, and all of that. We'll get into it sometime. Those feasts, the wave offering, the peace offering, those represented the types and shadows of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the tabernacle, the great study of the tabernacle in Exodus. It represented going into the presence of God. When you walked in, there was a laver. You washed your hands. That's a picture of getting your heart clean with God. Then there was the showbread. There was a candlestick that shone light on the bread. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit giving light on that work. That's what I'm doing right now. While I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit is shining light in your heart, on your Bible. It starts unraveling mind. It starts making sense. You see, the Bible is like a big old, it's sort of like a bucket, and it's got all kind of marbles in it. And you have blue marbles, and yellow, and orange, and red, and green, and you think, and my job is to rightly divide it. I take this red marble, put it over here. I take a blue marble, put it over here. Take a yellow marble, put it over here. And when I get done, I've got a neat little stack of blue marbles, a nice little stack of red marbles, a nice little stack of yellow marbles, rightly divided. And if you don't do that, you can't make heads or tails out of the Bible. I stopped by the flea market yesterday, and I always try to witness everybody. I stopped by there to get me some pork skins, and from health food, and I was talking to people, and I always tell them the Lord loves them, and I try to be a witness to people. And there was a guy who looked at me, and he said, "Hey, Danny." And I didn't know who he was. And I said, "How you doing there, buddy?" And I wished I could talk. I'd have kept going. But I started. And I'll be like, "Oh," I said, "you going to church regular?" And oh boy, here it comes. And he proceeded to give me about a 5-minute sermon on why you wasn't supposed to go to church, and why church buildings are not the will of God. And he, you know what he done? He looked at them and he said, "This is my church. The flea market's his church." At least he's honest about it. And I thought, well, you got some backslid members around here if this is your church. And he said, "There's nowhere in the Bible where you're supposed to go to church." He said, "I know we're supposed to assemble, but we're assembling out here." And then he started just going from one verse to the other, telling me you weren't supposed to baptize nobody, mentioning the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, telling me there was no such thing as the rapture. He said, "There's no such thing as the millennium." Just running. And finally, every time I try to say something, he'd cut me off. And he'd tell me, he'd cut me off. And finally, I looked at him and I said, "Look, you know what your problem is? You know just enough Bible to screw your head up." He didn't know what he's talking about. He was over here, he was over there, he had it all just mangled up in one big mess. He had us Jews, he had us Seventh-day Adventists, he had us all messed up. And I thought, "Lord," I said, "you got to rightly divide it, friend. You got to rightly divide it." He said, "Yeah, but as lightning comes out of the east and shines in the west," and I said, "Yeah, one will be taken and the other left too. And we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air too." That's the You see, you can't just take one verse or 5 verses or 10 verses. A preacher's job is to rightly divide it so it clicks and starts making sense in your head. Back on when Jacob had a dream, and he dreamed he laid down, and he dreamed he had a rock for a pillow, and he had this dream. That's why I have some dreams sometimes on pillows I'd sleep on when we go places. And he dreamed this ladder was from earth all the way to heaven. And he said angels were ascending and descending on that ladder. To the casual reader, that's nothing. But see, when you start preaching, you see what that represents. It represents a way from earth to heaven. Somebody tell me who that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And those angels ascending upon the Son of Man is what he told Nathanael in John chapter 1. And the Bible said that the angels of God were going. He said somebody try to climb it some other way. The same as a thief and a robber. So the Bible starts making sense. Amen? It sure does. Abraham. You know the Quran that the Muslims use teach that Abraham sacrificed Ishmael. That would be their daddy. Not Isaac. The Jews' daddy. The reason Muslims and Jews can't get along is because Ishmael, Abraham's son by the bondwoman, is their daddy. They all come from Ishmael. Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, all those places come from Ishmael. Isaac, where God, Abraham's promised son, was the father of the Jews, and that's why they're fighting today. It is the preacher's job. Down this aisle, Jamie. And listen, you hear me this morning? You know about the creation. You know about the feast. You know about the tabernacle. You know about the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You know about the death of Jesus Christ when they nailed him on the cross. You know what that was for. Our job is to help you to understand that Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary and paid the price for your sin. Our job is to help you understand when they buried him. It's a picture of his death. And when he rose up from the grave, it's a resurrection. And that's why we worship him. He died and rose again. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me today. It is our job to help you and expound the scripture. But I want to move right quickly this morning. I want to say thirdly this morning, it's the preacher's job to evangelize the sinner. Amen. Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, the Bible said them preachers, the disciples, and the apostles went house to house. It's every preacher's job to evangelize sinner. Now, a lot of people are going to hear this, said what's in here. And there's thousands of people hear this on the radio and by internet. And there's a lot of preachers that listen to me, our services here. And, of course, they don't want nobody to know it, but they listen. I know they do because I hear them go on the radio and quote me. And these guys get on there and they're listening to what I'm fixing to say. And I hope everybody is listening. We got this generation of preachers that say, well, God called me to study and feed the flock, and it's your job to get out and visit. I'm going to tell you, man, backslid has that philosophy. I even heard a preacher get up and say one time, he said, when a church calls me to be their pastor, he said, I want to ask them, do you want my heart or do you want my feet? You want my head, you want my feet. If you want me to get out here and visit to sit and knock on doors, I'll do that, but you ain't going to get much preaching. He said, but if you want me to get in here and study, I ain't going visiting. That's a deacon's job. I'm going to tell you, listen, that old boy needs to go do what these people did a while ago. He needs to hit the altar and ask God to forgive him. Listen, when a man's called to pastor a church, they're supposed to get his feet and his head. I'm not supposed to preach to you to do something that I won't do myself. Is that right? I'm not supposed to tell you something that I'm not willing to do myself. And I'm telling you, it's my job, yours too, to evangelize the sinner. Give them the gospel tract. Tell the old, old story. Hey, people, I don't know if you know this at all, but I ain't playing. I mean this. I'm serious about what I'm doing. This ain't just a job. This is a call that God put on my life. And I'm doing what I know God called me to do. Amen. You didn't hire me, and you can't fire me. You didn't call me, you can't uncall me. God called me to preach. God put me in the ministry. And if a man's called to preach, God put him in. And there ain't enough devil to take him out until God gets ready to take him out. Amen, right there. I can plan on saying that. You got it for free. Amen. I'm not playing, buddy. I mean business. Amen. I mean, some preachers get up. One guy got up and preached one time, and this old Indian was listening to him, and he said, when he got done, he said, big wind, much lightning, loud thunder, no rain. That's bad. That's bad, ain't it? Amen. That means no conviction. We ought to preach as a dying man to dying men. When I'm up here on Sunday, I'm a dying man, and you're a dying crowd, and my heart goes out to you this morning. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, listen, a preacher won't even visit himself. He ain't right with God. Amen? I mean, a man's backslid who's a wicked and puts it on. He said, well, we just pray. And when the sovereign God is ready, he'll bring them in. Wonder why the sovereign God ain't ever ready. I'm telling you something, brother. It's our job to go. It's our job to visit. One guy told one time, he come to pastor this church, and one of the members got him and said, now, we hope that you're not one of them preachers who thinks only the members of his church are the only ones going to heaven. He said, I'm more narrow-minded than that. I don't even believe all our members are going. That's true, but we're to evangelize the sinner. We're to evangelize the sinner. I'm not for sale. I'm telling you, brother, I know people that say, now when we call a preacher to pastor our church, we want him to only preach 30 minutes. I heard about this one preacher. He got it down to an art. He preached exactly 20 minutes every Sunday morning. I mean, you could set your watch by him. And they didn't have a clock or nothing. When that man got up, when he said, open your Bible, you could set your watch, and in 20 minutes he'd quit. And they got used to it for years. One Sunday he went up there, and it was 25, 30, 35, 40. Went to an hour. He said, what in the world? And got in the preacher. He's out, and he ain't hushed yet. Finally, somebody came up and said, preacher, what in the world got into you? He said, what he done, he said, every Sunday, right before he goes to the pulpit, he pulls out a cough drop. And he puts that cough drop in his mouth and just leaves it there for his throat. And he said, whenever that cough drop is gone, I know it's time to quit. Well, that Sunday morning, he'd reached in his pocket over here and pulled out a button and got in it. And I mean, it just kept on. It never did get away. But that ain't no way to do it. I'm telling you something, but that's no way to do it. I mean, man ought to just get up and lay on the whip, amen? I mean, just let the chip. I like what I believe it's Bob Gray listened to this week. He said a bunch of church members was intimidating him, and a bunch of people was trying to run him off, and people was mad at him and everything else. And he asked an old preacher. Yes, an old preacher. He said, "Preacher, give me some advice. I'm only 20-something years old, and people scare me. I'm afraid they're going to run me off." And that old preacher said, "I'll tell you what you do, son." He said, "You write out your resignation Saturday night." And he said, "You write it out on a piece of paper and pack your suitcase." And he said, "You take it with you to church Sunday morning." And he said, "You lay it right there on the pulpit." And he said, "You put your suitcase right there." And he said, "Let them know you mean business. Let them know you ain't for sale. Let them know they ain't buying you." And he said, "You haul off, get you a big deep breath, ride back and let her off and preach." I'm telling you this morning, that's what God... Hey, we got this thing all wrong, especially some of these big shot churches. A preacher is not supposed to be an ornament at the ladies' meeting or at the society meeting over in town. He didn't call us to be an after-dinner speaker at the Kiwanis Club or the Rotary. I don't ever get invited to them places. You know why? Because God called me to preach! I've been invited to a couple of them years ago, and I got invited one time, never got to go back. You know why? Because I know all the big shot ladies get in town and they say, "Oh yes, our ladies' meeting will be Thursday at 10 o'clock. We're going to have lunch. And oh, my pastor is coming. Oh, the pastor of our church. And he's just going to get up here and give us a little devotion." Now, if he's called to preach, he ain't. He's going to take advantage of that opportunity. That's right, buddy. Look, the Lord didn't call us to be after-dinner speakers. If you want me to be an ornament at your church, at your get-together for your party at work, I ain't got time to fall with it, buddy. God's calling me to preach. That's my job to preach. I mean, who in the world wants a preacher that won't preach? Say amen right there. I'm going to say fourthly this morning, it's my job to edify the saints. It's a preacher's job to edify the saints. Lord, I heard about this one old guy one time. He said, "I was cold and indifferent." And he said, "I decided I'd go hear this man preach." And he said, "I wanted to hear this man preach. He's a Scottish." And he said, "That guy got up in an hour, buddy. He said he let us have it. He said that guy dynamited. He said he lacerated. He said he analyzed. He dissected us. He tore us apart and never did put us back together. He said that guy jarred my teeth. He said, I never heard such preaching in my life. He said, by the time he got done, I was like, he jerked us up, spun us around, slapped us a time or two. I mean, he said that guy, and he said, when he got through, I realized that me or him one was a fool. I said, me or him one's way off. And the Lord said, it's you that's off. Now, I'm going to tell you something, brother. If I want to hear somebody preach, you know what Abraham Lincoln said? Abraham Lincoln said, when I hear a man preach, I want him to preach like he's fighting a swarm of bees. That's what he said. Now, if there was a bunch of bees got around me this morning, I wouldn't go, "Get away from me. Get away from me." That's what I do right there. Abraham Lincoln said, that's the way I want to hear a man preach. Heard about this guy one time. This old man, he slept every single service. And he slept, and he slept, and he slept, and he slept. And preacher couldn't get nothing out of nobody. He couldn't even get a response out of nobody. Finally, the preacher got up and he said, "Who all in here wants to go to hell? Stand up." And all that old man finally woke up, and all he heard him say was, "Stand up." And he jumped up like this. Everybody turned around and looked around. "Are you crazy, buddy?" And that guy got to looking around. And he said, "Well, what are you going to say, brother?" He said, "Well, preacher, I don't know what we're voting on. It looks like me and you's on the one for it." That's where a lot of people are. Listen, it's our job. I've heard people say, "Well, you preach me to sleep. You can wake me up." Now, listen, you wouldn't stay awake, brother, some of y'all. I mean, if Peter Cartwright and John the Baptist and the Apostle Paul and Peter and every one of them's up here all at the same time. I'm telling you, it's not my job to tickle your ears. It's not my job to cater to your every little whim. It's my job to stand up here, get the message from God, and preach God's Word while we're here in church on Sunday. That's my job!
Amen.
That's right, brother. I have been some had them rocking horse sermons. That's where you go back and forth, back and forth. Never take a stand on nothing. Some of them have a mockingbird sermon. That's where you just repeat the same thing over and over and over and over. Some of them have a smorgasbord sermon. That means a little bit of everything, not much of nothing. Some of them have a Jericho sermon, where you march round, round, round seven times and never do take a stand on anything. Amen? I heard a guy yesterday. I stopped at the store to take some stuff home. Stopped at Ingles. On the way out, that's a visitation. And there was a guy checking out, and he was two in front of me. And he was up there, and he had cases of beer. And he was putting them in his buggy. Case of beer. Another case of beer. And I was standing back here, and he turned around and looked at that girl and said, "I bet you can guess what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. But you know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow." Man, I can feel it coming up in me. It started down here. It starts way down here. You know, blah, 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 blah. Well, I know it ain't none of my business. But I'm still called to preaching when I'm out there. I held it back. He said, "You know what I'll be doing." I started to say, "Boast not thyself for tomorrow, big boy. You don't know what you'll be doing tomorrow. You may be dead in hell by tomorrow." I'm telling everybody in here this morning, you don't know what you'll be doing tomorrow. You don't know. You can be in the funeral home this time tomorrow. Amen. Our job is to edify the saints, buddy. Amen. Preacher's job. They said a preacher will never be out of date who preaches to broken hearts. Another preacher said, "He who preaches to broken hearts will never want for a congregation." There's always people hurting in the church that we need to preach to. Number five, I want to say this morning. Our job is to expose the scoffers. Our job is to expose the scoffers. Our job is not to fit in your little group at work so you can be proud that, quote, your pastor is the community and helps all with, listen, brother, that God never called a man to do such stuff as that. Our job is to expose the scoffers. That's right. Amen. Not just being positive all the time. There's something wrong with a preacher that's always talking positive. There's something wrong with a preacher that always smiles about everything. There's something wrong with a preacher who always talks something good and never says anything negative. About 75% of the preaching in that Bible is negative. You've got to have a negative and a positive. There is a negative, there is a positive. Amen? That's right. And Lord, got a letter one day, and then a guy showed up at church one Sunday morning. He's over yonder. He was a lawyer from a city about 40 miles from here. Lawyer shows up, you start thinking, uh-oh, am I in trouble? Somebody, what's he doing here? He came up and he said, "I just want to meet you. My name's so-and-so." And he said, "I want to meet you, Danny Castle." And I said, "Well, God bless you, man. Good to hear you. What's your deal?" And he said, "I want to give you some money, and I think gave me a few $100 for our church over there." I'm a lawyer. He said, "Me and my brother practice law," and I said, "Really? How did?" And he said, "I'm going to tell you a story." He said, "My brother listened to you on Sunday on the radio. He said you caught his attention, and he listened to your whole program, and he said, at the end of the program, he said, now he's going to spend the last 5 minutes asking for money." And he said, "You didn't mention it." He said, He said he tuned in the next Sunday. He said, "I bet you he spends 5 minutes asking for money." He listened to my whole program. He said, "At the end of that program, you didn't mention money again." He said, "I listened the third Sunday." He said, "You preached the whole sermon and still didn't beg for money." He said, "And that's why I started listening to you." He said, "Every one of them spent 5 minutes in the preaching and 10 minutes begging for money." I know it does take money, and the Bible does mention money, and sometimes it has to be preached on. But a preacher's job, he ain't a fundraiser. We're not even called to be administrators. I'm not even called to be a businessman. God called us to preach that book right there. God will take care of the needs. Sometimes you have to preach on stuff like that. But listen, brother, our job is to expose the scoffers. Amen? Number six. Our job is to endure the sufferings. Endure the sufferings. He said the sufferings of this present time. He said that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. John Bunyan, one of the greatest men that's ever lived, wrote Pilgrim's Progress. They put him in prison for preaching. in prison. His wife, kids up there, and they come to John Bunyan's cell one day, and they said, "We'll let you out of prison if you won't preach no more." John Bunyan looked back through them cells. He said, "If you let me out today, I'll preach tomorrow." And if that's the kind of attitude that we must take as doctrine. Not this little weak, sissy, mealy-mouthed generation of preachers that we got now that are pushed around by the deacon's wives, or pushed around by the Sunday school teachers, or controlled by one little group of ladies. Listen, God called us to preach His Word. A lady came up to me one time, she said, "Brother Danny, I think you should preach on this." And name's up. I said, "Thank you." I didn't say, "Shut up." I didn't say, "None of your business." I said, "Thank you." And I was going to say, they'll be having a snowball fight in hell before I preach on that. Well, you ain't going to. That's the way I live. And you're not going to tell me what to preach on. I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm not trying to. It's not your job. It's not your purpose. It's my job between me and God. Say amen right there. You say, "I don't like that authority." You never did like authority. That's why God can't bless you. You won't listen to nobody that God puts over us. Amen. We endure the suffering. George Whitefield. He's getting old. Way up there. And I'm going to say something about that here in just a second. They said when he got old, he cut back. And he didn't preach but once a day and three times on Sunday. Once a day and three times on Sunday. There's endless struggles and continual fights. That's why Paul... Why do you think Paul said, "I have fought a good fight"? When God calls a man, he must go through suffering, poverty, or maybe even death. Stay in the fight. By the way, there is no such thing as retirement in the ministry. I heard of a preacher not long ago, a certain issue come up in the city, and they said, "Well, you going to help us fight this?" And he said, "Just tell you the truth." He said, "I don't want to get involved in that fight. I'm going to be retiring in about 6 months, and I don't want to do anything that's going to mess up my retirement." I want to tell you, in that book, there ain't no such thing as retirement. I'm not against the man getting Social Security. I'm not against that. There's nothing wrong with providing for yourself and your family. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying, as far as preaching goes, there ain't nowhere where a person's supposed to quit. You don't quit preaching. You don't quit. You ride back and you preach. As long as you're able, you preach. And if your voice goes, you do the best you can. You holler and scream and read that Bible and preach till God calls you out of this world. You don't quit preaching. You don't retire from preaching. You refire and get back up and tell it again. I remember we used to go up and hear that old preacher up in Spruce Pine. He was 114. Preacher Akers. Y'all remember him? 114. Died when he was 116. He'd been preaching since he was about 20. And his wife, two or three wives, done died. And he had one, and she was on 70, robbed the cradle. And she's 70, and she'd get up and read his scripture for him. And I'm telling you, that old guy, he'd get up there and he'd point that little bony finger at you. And I mean, he'd preach 45 minutes. I mean, you know what he believed? If God calls you to preach, there is no retirement in the work of God. Lastly, and I'm through, number 7. Our job is to expect the Savior. He said, "I'm now ready. World is not my home. There's a better place to go. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." Old D.L. Moody, when he was dying, you know what he said? He said, "This is my coronation day." There's your retirement, people. Our retirement's up there, where moths can't corrupt, where thieves can't break through and steal. And Paul said, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give, the righteous judge shall give me at that day." Thank God we can expect the Savior. Listen, brother, we're outnumbered down here. I mean, we're in a minority down here. I'm telling you, them crazy people on the internet, somebody put me on the Huffington Post. That's that worldwide News, I never even heard of it. People started coming up saying, Danny, they got you on Huffington Post. You know what some old writer out there in Hollywood said about me? Said I preached against one of them cartoons where they had gods committing suicide. And he said, preacher loses his mind. I got news for him, buddy. My mind is in good shape.
Right.
They're the ones that lost their mind.
Amen.
God ain't committed suicide. God's alive and well on his throne. And I consider that a compliment. Amen.
Yeah.
Listen, if them people think you're all right, you're messed up bad. Thank God we're not winning no popularity contest. I ain't trying to be on the Tonight Show. I don't want to be known in this world except for one thing. He thinks what that book said. Till God called him home. That's the job of a preacher. One lady said, well, I was sick and my kid had a booger in his nose and the pastor never even come and visit us. Now listen, people. A man ought to visit, and we try to, but you know, the other day we had people in Lenore Hospital and Statesville Hospital and Asheville all at the same time. Now look, I can move pretty fast, but I can't be in Asheville, Lenore, and Hickory at the same time. And man ought to. I'm not saying I did go to all three of them. Listen, that's not what God called it. Hey, some people, they don't care if you can preach a lick. As long as you're good in the social community and you was holding their hand when the doctor came in. And I'm not saying that's wrong. Don't get your feelings hurt. A preacher ought to do that. But that ain't the ministry. The ministry is preaching that book. And you ought to respect that. If you got any brains in your head, you'll respect that. Let's stand by our head for prayer.